Malachi chapter 4. Last time together we looked at verses 13 through 18, where he dealt with those stout words that had been against him, and then in verse 16, the words of the saints. Verse 13, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, and yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept the ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yes, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. And then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels and spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. And then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yes, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you will go forth and grow up as the calves of the stall, and you will tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Thank you, Father, for your word. We pray that you'd give us instruction in it this day. And we thank you for the day that you have given to us, the day that you have made by your resurrection, glory, ascension into heaven, and being seated at the right hand of God the Father on high. Forgive our sins, take away our iniquities, lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We pray for the sake of Christ our Lord. Amen. So we have come to chapter 4. In chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, "For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud and all that do wicked shall be as stubble." In verse 15 of the former chapter, he had said, "And now we call the proud happy, and those that work wickedness are set up," when actually just the opposite was the case. And he confirms and affirms it in verse 1 here when he speaks of what will happen to the proud, that they are not set up, they are prepared for judgment is what they're prepared for. But here we have in this first verse, "For behold, the day comes, it will burn as an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. It shall leave them neither root nor branch." So he begins this chapter with awakening words, with the word "behold," which the scripture uses oftentimes. It's a word of surprise, an attention getter. The judgment of God he's going to speak of here is something to behold. The promise of judgment should cause us to behold and awaken us out of our slumber of apathy, to call dead sinners to life and point us to the power of God and the glory of Christ. It says, "Behold, the day cometh." So it's a very certain word of which he speaks. But that word "behold" is a beautiful word brought into the New Testament as well. And I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 1. As I was thinking about this first chapter and thinking about the word "behold" again, I realized as I did another study through the New Testament that Matthew and Luke use this word more than anybody else in the New Testament. And I'd like us to look, we'll just look at Matthew this morning and see about this word and the use of this word. because this word, both in the Old Testament and the New, that's translated behold, is a word which is supposed to get our attention. And it's pointing us to something that is significant. And if we were to say it today, if you were driving down the road on your road trip, and all of a sudden you see a herd of deer right by the side of the road, you would say, behold. Because it would be a surprise to you, and you'd want them to look, and you'd want them to see, because it's not something we would see every day around here. So this word behold is used, and it's beautiful to study it and just think about the times that it's used, especially as it relates to God in Christ. Here it's used in our context as seeking to awaken them to the fact of a final judgment. He's talked about their wickedness all the way through these three chapters, and about their response to God, that their response to God was always in ignorance and darkness, the darkness of their understanding. And he would have them to behold. Behold, that day's coming. That day's coming. And, of course, in chapter 3 of Malachi, he had already put another behold there too. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he'll prepare the way, and then the messenger of the covenant will come too. So, Matthew chapter 1, in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, Joseph, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. Behold. So it's used a lot of times with the visitation of angels, the visitation of now. To us, it almost seems normal because we've read these texts so many times. But this is not normal. This is the visitation of a heavenly visitor. And in this particular case, it is to affirm that Mary's birth is a virgin birth and that Joseph is not to put away his wife, but rather to remain with her. Behold. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. And then chapter 1 and verse 23, when he speaks of the prophecy of Isaiah, behold, a virgin will be with child. Yes, that's something to behold. That's something surprising. That's something that's only happened one time, and it is related to the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, a virgin will be with child. Chapter 2. Verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And these were not three guys on camels. Okay. This was probably about 100 people with dozens of camels that came. These people were not poor people. These people were wealthy people. And it was an entourage, and it stirred all of Jerusalem up. The whole city was stirred up by these people that appeared. So it wasn't some small, insignificant thing. And why it got the attention of Herod as well. Chapter 2 and verse 13, and when they departed, this entourage, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and mother and flee into Egypt and stay there until I send you. Herod wants to destroy the child. It's another behold. And it is the angel again, this time in a dream to Joseph. He's communicating to him through these dreams. The entourage is left and he's telling him someone's going to try to kill the child, destroy the Messiah, which is something that went on throughout the Old Testament as well. As Satan sought to destroy the seed of Christ. And here it is again. It's another behold. Chapter 2 in verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. So again, as we have noted many times concerning the birth of Christ and his first rearing, there were a lot of occasions in which God sent heavenly messengers down. And now it's behold, another dream, still another dream, in which it has appeared to Joseph, and he has communicated that this king who sought to kill the Christ is dead, so he can return now to the land. Chapter 4, the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 11. And then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. You remember what Christ said to Nathanael, I believe it was, who was amazed that Christ knew he was under the fig tree. He said that angels would ascend and descend from heaven upon the Son of Man. Just like the dream that Jacob had in the Old Testament, which taught Jacob to trust God, that God was ministering, he was sending his angels to minister in the world all the time to fulfill the purposes of God. So when Christ, at the end of this temptation, he sends heavenly messengers to minister to the Son of God, to uphold him after this supernatural fast and going without bread and water, which is not possible. The bread is, but not the water, all these days in the weakened state of Christ. But it's another behold. Chapter 6. Here used in a very, very simple way, which Christ often did with the things of this earth, Matthew 6 and 26, he said, "Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." What we take for granted really is a behold. We don't sit around worrying about the birds. Now, some people do a little bit more than others. Some people feed the birds regularly, and God uses that too. But even if we don't put the bird seed out, even if we don't buy the bird seed at Walmart, you know what? God takes care of all these critters, and there's billions of them and billions of them in his economy and what he has done. It's a behold. And then beyond that it is, and you're worth more than fowls. So we don't worry about them, so we can trust God for ourselves and God taking care of us. Chapter 7. Oh, will you say to your brother, "Let me pull out the mote in your own eye," and behold, a beam is in your own eye. This is the surprise of those that would pick at everyone constantly, be critical, hypercritical at every small thing, and not be aware of their own sin. And that's a behold for God to us. Behold, the beam in your own eye. And we have to come to that point to where we work on the beam before we work on the splinters. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him and said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And again, those of us who have heard these stories over and over again, we need to refresh ourselves and remind ourselves of some of the first times when we heard the story of people with leprosy, a disease that was fatal in those days, which there was no treatment for. And they come to Christ and they walk away clean after that. That's a behold. That's a behold. And it's a behold in that Christ touched them, because that would make most men ceremoniously unclean. But it wouldn't Christ, because as soon as he touched them, they were clean. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 24. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. But he was asleep. And just like in the book of Jonah, where it says, God sent a great wind, and God sent a great fish, and God was doing all these things. And that's what we have here too. It is this violent storm that God sends upon the disciples in order to display and magnify, first of all, the trust that the Lord Jesus Christ had, his weariness from his long work and fatigue, he was asleep, but also because of the kind of spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ possessed, with a perfect faith and hope in God. The disciples tell him to wake up, they're going to perish. And then they are amazed when he quiets the winds and waves. It is a behold. Look at verse chapter 28 and 29 when they come to the country of the Gergesenes. In verse 29, and behold, he says, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? These two possessed with devils so fierce that nobody could deal with them. Behold, they cry out, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? They confess that this is God in the flesh. They have a confession that this is God in the flesh. They know that. They have been given that information. And of course, the behold is also in that he deals with them. And it says in chapter 8 and verse 32, and he said to them, go. And when they were come out, they went into a herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea. Another behold. First of all he says is go. These days when people say that they're working out exorcisms, it takes them hours to do, and they scream at people at the top of their lungs and all this nonsense. Jesus Christ said, go, and the demons went. And he said, behold the effect of the demons upon the swine, and that they run to their death. And so it gives us a picture and an understanding of the violence of this other invisible world, these principalities and powers, and how malevolent they are. And then in verse 34, and behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they asked him to depart from their coasts. another behold, the whole city came to see him. I think this is normative for the life of Christ, that where he went, he drew such crowds that that's why he said, don't tell anybody else. He didn't need any advertising. And he had to get away at times into the mountains. He had to escape the people because there were so many coming to him. Behold, the whole city comes. But then also, the whole city asks him to leave as well. Behold, men. Chapter 9, verse 2. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And again, Matthew, the gospel to the Jews, seeks to awaken his brethren, the Jews. Like Paul, who had a great love for his own countrymen, so Matthew had a great love for his own countrymen as well. And why we find in here this behold over and over again. Now another incident, a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, can't get up, impossible, no doctors can treat him. And Christ immediately heals the man. And then in verse 3, and behold, certain of the scribes and Pharisees said within themselves, this man blasphemes. This man blasphemes. Behold, again, how men viewed the Lord Jesus Christ. And obviously that had to have been given to Matthew, didn't it? That had to be revealed to Matthew, because Matthew didn't have that kind of capability to know what these men said in their hearts. So either Christ told them after this incident, or it was revealed by the Spirit of God as these words came back to, because the promise was made that you'll remember the words that I said when he left. And so it was with the disciples as they wrote the Gospels. These words were perfectly brought to their memory again. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came down with him and his disciples. This is a behold, because this was certainly not normative for the day with the scribes and Pharisees. They would not have had such a gathering of publicans and sinners around them, and he in the midst of them. And so this was a behold. Pay attention. How the Lord Jesus Christ comes to save sinners. Chapter 18. While he spoke these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him and said, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay your hand upon her and she shall live. What great faith in Israel. Chapter 9, verse 20. And behold, a woman diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. A woman that we are told spent her living on doctors and was no better, And behold, here's this woman that nobody can cure, and she just touches the hem of the garment, and she is absolutely cured by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a behold. Verse 32. And they went out, and behold, they brought him a dumb man possessed with the devil. So Matthew is giving to his Jewish brethren miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle of things which men could do nothing with and which we could do nothing with, and that Christ immediately healed. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's a behold. That's Jesus Christ commissioning his men not to an easy work. The commissioning of men to the gospel work has never been a work that is some simple, easy work. It's always been an impossible work in the midst of a violent world. That's what it is. I'm sending you out like sheep amidst the wolves. That's the call to the work. It's a behold to show that God, in his providence and power, protects men who preach the gospel of Christ. Yes, some of them are sheep for the slaughter, but his work is an impossible work going on in a world that hates it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 8. But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, those that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. Those are not my men. That's not my prophet, John. If that's what you went to see the wrong thing. Behold who John is. Verse 10, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I will send my messenger before your face, which shall prepare your way before me. And this is the prophecy of both Isaiah and Malachi as well, who prophesied the coming of John. Chapter 11, verse 19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber. So here's the behold of men and the way that they treated Christ and looked upon Christ and his ministry because he was among sinners. Chapter 12, verse 2. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, behold, your disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. Opposition to Christ all through the New Testament, all through his ministry. The beholds on the other side of the camp were always, behold this and behold that. You're not like us. You're not doing what we would do. And so he had to deal with that constantly. Chapter 12 and verse 10. And behold, there was a man with a withered hand. And then, of course, he heals this man on the Sabbath day to show that it is right to do good on the Sabbath. Chapter 18. Behold my servant, the word of God, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. God saying to us, behold my servant. God saying to us, here is the one. Here is the significant one. Here is the one to be honored and glorified. This is my man. Chapter 12, verse 41. And the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. And then verse 42, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Lest we get caught up with men like the Corinthians did. One was of Apollos and one was of Paul. And God squashed that, because what God would have us to do is behold the Son of God, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Look at verse 46. And while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. This is another behold. It is, look, even his mother and his brethren, we know from another text, some thought he was beside himself because of the ministry that he was carrying on, that he was mad. And they're like, behold, this is what the Son of God puts up with while he is here. So they said in verse 47, behold, your mother and brethren are out there. And he said, behold, my mother and brethren among me, the saints. In chapter 13, this whole section that begins with all the parables, verse 3, and he spake many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And he begins that whole section with this, pay attention. Here are the teachings of Christ. Chapter 15, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Behold, a woman of Canaan, one of the cursed tribes. From all the way back in Genesis, the curse of Canaan, the Canaanites, who God said to destroy every one of them. And of course, they weren't all destroyed. Here's a woman of Canaan who comes, and of course, that beautiful interchange and bringing out her faith in Christ. Behold, a woman of Canaan who is a child of God. Chapter 17, the Transfiguration on the Mount, verse 3, and behold, there appeared to him Moses and Elijah talking with him. That's a behold. Haven't seen Moses and Elijah on earth for a good while. Here they are talking with Christ on the Mount. And I know this is just a topical study tying into this, but it just impressed me so how often the behold came in the life of Christ. The preciousness of the Gospels that we have and that they're introduced by the disciple Matthew and Luke, Luke to the Gentiles, Matthew to the Jews, as look at this. Look at this life. Don't get over the wonder of it. Matthew hadn't. Verse 5 of chapter 17, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud that said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. When Peter got excited and wanted to have three tabernacles, once again, God reins us in and says, it's not about men, it's about God. It's about Christ. Chapter 18, verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Chapter 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said, good master, what good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? To Matthew, this was another behold. This was the rich young ruler. This was a man who believed he was good, and that Christ sought, Christ searched out his heart and said that the requirements for discipleship is that you leave everything for me. That's the requirement, still is. And in our day and age, we've dumbed down the requirements to just about nothing. But this was the requirement. That's why Matthew says, behold, here's a man who looked for Jesus, came after Jesus, talked good about religion, and yet when Christ lays down the requirements, sell all you have and follow me, he walks away sad. Chapter 19, verse 27, Peter said, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee, what shall we have? And Christ, of course, says, yes, you will have, you will have, you will be greatly rewarded. Chapter 20, in verse 18, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed to the chief priests. The fulfillment of what he had been telling them and what had been predicted from the early days of the prophets. Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, a significant event, an event which is going to separate, B.C. from A.D. This is going to separate everything as far as our understanding of the world. Is this time in Jerusalem. Chapter 20, verse 30. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside when they heard Jesus passed out, say, have mercy upon us, O Son of David. The beholds went on throughout his whole life with the healings, the blind, the deaf, the demon-possessed. Chapter 21, and verse 5. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes, meek and sitting upon an ass, and the colt of a foal of an ass. While his whole ministry was a behold, the end of his ministry was a behold as well. As he comes into Jerusalem, it's a behold, it's a fulfillment of prophecy, but it's also a display of the humility and meekness of the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilling those things. Chapter 23, verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send you the prophets and the wise men and the scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Behold, behold, God says, behold, I have sent you my messengers. You have had my messengers. What have you done with them? Chapter 23, verse 38. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. Desolate. The warning, the promise, which would be fulfilled concerning the Jews and Jerusalem. Chapter 24, verse 24. Micah was dealing with the false teachers and false Christs. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it was possible, they would deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. This shouldn't take you by surprise. Behold, they're coming, and they will come and seek to deceive you. Verse 26, wherefore if they say to you, behold, he's in the desert, don't go forth, or in the secret chambers, don't believe it. Chapter 25 and verse 6, concerning the coming of Christ. At midnight there was a cry made, and behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him. The midnight cry, behold, the bridegroom comes. Here is not just his life and also his death, but also the second coming is a behold as well. Chapter 26, verse 45, in the garden. Then cometh he to his disciples and says to them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. It's now. Behold. Verse 46, rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand. Behold, Judas is here. What I told you about. Verse 51, and behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck a servant, the high priest, and smote off his ears. Behold, these significant events taking place one after another as he approaches his death. And then the healing of Malchus. Verse 65, then the high priest rent his clothes and said, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, you have heard his blasphemy. And we would say, behold, he affirmed his sonship. He affirmed his deity is what he did. And in the book of John, Jesus saw his mother and disciples standing by whom he loved. And he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And son, behold your mother. His caring for his mother. Then chapter 27 of Matthew, verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earthquake and the rocks rent. More beholds, more miracles, more miraculous events. This around the death of Christ, the great thick veil of the temple, which is impossible for it to be rent, was rent in two to show that the way to the holiest was now open. Matthew chapter 28, verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat upon it. Verse 7. Go quickly and tell the disciples that he's risen from the dead. Behold, he goes before you into Galilee. This is after the resurrection. More beholds of how the resurrection takes place, the events around it. And the fact that Christ had already told them where to meet, the angel says, behold, he goes before you into Galilee. Go see him. Verse 9, and they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them and said, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. One of the first appearances to the disciples. Verse 11, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed the chief priests. Another behold of the deception that they would try to play upon the people. And then Luke gives us a final one, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high. So it impressed me as I went back through this particular word study. Which impressed me, and I guess I hadn't, if I had studied it like this before, I don't remember it. But just the beholds all the way through the life of Christ from the time of his birth and all the events around his birth to his growing up, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, his second coming, that Matthew and Luke use about the same number of beholds in their gospels, while the rest, out of all the times this word is used, Matthew and Luke use almost all of them in the New Testament to give us a sense of the wonder that they had concerning the work of Jesus Christ, the life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus Christ. And here, Malachi, some 400 years before the coming of Christ, also gives us a behold, and this behold is that final judgment for all of those who will be impenitent concerning the life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. His life was a wonder, his birth was a wonder, his ministry was a wonder, it was all a wonder. So it is no wonder that men shall be judged who reject all of that. For behold, the day comes, it will burn like an oven. They are words of certainty. He says, behold, and then he says, the day's coming. The day's coming. It is an absolute certainty. Isaiah says, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with wrath and fierce anger. Jeremiah said, because the day that comes to spoil all the Philistines and cut them off from Tyrus and Zidon, every helper that remains, the Lord will spoil the Philistines. Ezekiel says, in that day shall messengers go forth from me in ships to make the careless Ethiopians afraid. Joel said, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. The day of the Lord comes. Micah said, the best of them is a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of the watchman in your visitation is coming. Habakkuk said, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble when he comes up to the people. Zechariah said, behold, the day of the Lord comes, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. John said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. Paul said to the Thessalonians, you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes. It comes as a thief in the night, but it comes. And all of these comings of the Lord to judgment are pictures of the great final coming, whether it's upon the Philistines or the Ethiopians or the Israelites, the north tribe, the southern tribe, all of them are promised, all of them are fulfilled, but all of them point to the certainty of that great final day, which nobody has yet come to, the great final day of judgment in which all the world will be gathered together as one great people. And that's what Malachi gives us, the behold. Behold, that day's coming. That day's coming. Because it's already come throughout the Old Testament on other people groups, which was fulfilled. But this day shall come. And it should come in judgment, because it is a rejection of the great God and King, our Lord Jesus Christ, the expression of God to us, whose whole life was a behold. So the day will come. Thank you, Father, for your word, the certainty of your word, the certainty of both your blessings and curses. We need, Lord, to take seriously all of your word, because your word is truth, because you are the truth and life. We ask, Lord, that you would cause us never to lose the wonder of your person and your work that the gospel writers had, and that our hearts would be filled with joy and faith and believing as we read again these things that are set before us in the Bible. We ask that you would Bless these words to our heart, and with the words coming the rest of the day, through Christ our Lord. Amen.